on the preceding program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. Contests mentioned during this program are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not of the station, its management, or other advertisers. This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KLCK, FM 98.9, Digital HD3 Seattle. Those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KLCK FM 98.9 Digital HD3 Seattle.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get up, get out of bed, cheer up. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the first hour of our Father's Day edition of Animal World. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends. The best way to pick up the stream, go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That'll click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again. That will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. And wow, we actually have a studios full of fathers today. The girls are on the downside here. I'm here, and bright and cheery as always, that would be Animal World's production engineer, Gary Hill, is here. Morning, Gary.
Hi.
Happy Father's Day.
Thanks.
You have two human kids to be fathers to.
Yeah, huh? I have two of them.
So you will cover the human father base today.
Okay.
And did you have a nice Father's Day morning? Did you get, like, breakfast in bed and all that stuff? Or were you out of there too early?
No, everyone was up. I was just stumbling around. It was a late night for me, so early morning. And a Mariners game last night, and I was up late. So.
But you have something to look forward to today.
Yes.
What?
We're going on a little vacation.
Woohoo! So,
yeah.
You're really going to the ocean.
Yeah, can't wait.
Yeah.
Cannot wait.
Stick your toes in the ocean for me, please.
Yeah, I'm going to jump in at some point.
Okay, yeah, just make sure that you have someone ready to restart your heart. It is definitely cool. Now, I found that I really like walking barefoot, you know, on the sandy beach and out in the waves. And, you know, I would always go, well, when I was a kid, I'd go in the ocean. Ooh. He was about to be in trouble because he was messing with his iPhone thing. Is this an iPhone?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about that?
Look at that.
And but he—that's because he was bringing up pictures of babies. So this is, my goodness, Baker's grown.
I know. Well, he's
like
huge.
Sitting up and huge, yeah. And he looks like he's not all that smaller than.
Yeah, he's catching up to Finley. He's very big.
Now, this is an interesting picture. I'm going to pass it around so y'all can see it. But why are we looking at the top of their heads?
I don't know. They're just playing with grass. There's another good one, too.
They're sitting in the grass. And so Finley has a really nice head of dark hair now.
Yeah.
And it looks like Baker is getting some hair.
Yeah. Pretty light, but yeah.
It's hard to see their smiling faces. I'm going to pass this around. And But happy Father's Day.
Nice.
And have a great time with the ocean. Anyway, I was going to say, I found the trick is you go in with your feet for a little while, hang out in the ocean. It doesn't take very long for your feet and your skin to get numb.
Okay. Yeah.
And then once that happens, you're good to go.
Right. Oh, you just got to wait for the...
Yeah, because the ocean's really not that cold once you're numb. So, oh, here comes it. Oh, there we go. Look at those. They're on a kind of a rainbow blanket with little white hats on. Oh, my gosh, they're too cute.
Yeah, the sun was out that day.
Well, that's amazing.
I know.
Where were you? Can't have been around here.
I was, yeah, it was.
I don't know if you've been floating, but we're floating. And, oh, I got to tell you, I have to look over my shoulder now, folks, as you know. But it's a cloudy, rainy day again in the great Pacific Northwest. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, what? We've had 5 days that we've reached 70 degrees since the first of the year.
That's not many.
That's really crazy. Anyway, like I said, we have a full house. So anyway, Gary is covering the human Father's Day base today and getting ready to go off on vacation. And then, of course, in the other room, we have another father, and that would be Animal World's call screener. Scotty Robertson is here. Morning, Scotty.
Good morning, Martha.
And Scotty, of course, is a wonderful father to four kitties.
Meow, meow, meow.
Yeah. And your kitties, of course, wished you a happy Father's Day today.
Oh, yes, they did.
Got you really nice cards.
They really did.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Thank you, thank you.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Well, they, of course, had to have someone else go to Hallmark to get them, you know, but they did send cards to their dad. And then this is the first time we've had this many people in the studio, I think, since we've had our new equipment in here. But two of our most popular guests are back, adventure travelers. Helen and Bill Thayer are here. Good morning, Helen.
Good morning.
And for any of you that haven't listened.
Asakawa.
Oh, that was interesting, Gary.
Yeah, somebody changed the setting. Sorry about that.
Well, I have to tell you, we have to fess up on live radio here. We were visiting about Gary's vacation and going to the ocean and all of that. And then all of a sudden, Scotty reminded us it was like 2 minutes to air. And Gary said, I don't have anything ready or anything. And we raced out of that studio and into this one. So you're just getting ready right now.
With all our new mics, I'm still not clear on which mic is which. So that's part of the...
Oh, that's amazing. Because I finally have my own mic now.
Yeah, and I still haven't identified exactly which one that is.
That Helen's on?
Yeah.
Okay. And then, well, I started to say, if you've not been with us before when Helen and Bill have been here, you only know that Bill is here because we tell you he's here. Okay? Bill doesn't speak a lot. Now, every once in a while, you may hear him chime in from the background, but he is, in fact, here.
When Helen makes a mistake.
Then he corrects her. Yeah. So Bill is actually here.
He's my editor, my personal editor.
Right. Now let's say happy Father's Day to Bill. Mm-hmm. And Bill is father to how many and what?
Six dogs.
Six goats.
No, nine goats. Six dogs, three cats, and one donkey.
Six dogs, one cat.
No, three cats.
Three cats. How many goats?
Nine.
Nine goats.
And one donkey.
And one donkey. And I think I say I've had the pleasure of meeting almost all of them.
Yeah.
I don't know that I met all three cats when I was there. I think I met at least two.
Yep.
One might have been hiding.
Mm-hmm.
But I met the goats,
yep.
The donkey,
mm-hmm.
and the dog.
And the dogs.
In fact, we had to shape up the latest rescue dog.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were all rescued.
How long ago? That was a long time ago now, it seems.
That was about 10 months ago.
Is that 10 months ago? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you found him abandoned by the side of the road. Mm-hmm. and decided that he was such a disaster, you'd have to keep him.
He was a total disaster. We couldn't think anybody would ever want him. There's 80 pounds of missile.
But, right. He was just out of control, and he wouldn't walk on a leash, and he was nuts.
And he just, we found him as this shaking mass of dog flesh on the side of the road. He was just shaking with fright. He's turned out to be a big, lovable marshmallow. He wants to be loved all the time, wants to play with his big, big red rubber ball all the time. He's just a big baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody, two-year-old teenager, so we're going through the teens now.
All right. But you're doing okay because you haven't called Aunt Martha.
No.
But that's why I was there, was to help get this guy under control. And
yes,
it was quite an amazing experience,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a trainer and behaviorist, because it's the first time I've really had a dog that his upbringing was so messed up, mm-hmm. that he really didn't understand the relationship between dog and human and what leashes were all about. And oh, he was a nightmare on the leash.
Well, it was just crazy. But even if you wore a jacket, he wanted to take it off you. He just... Oh. It doesn't hurt the body. Just wanted to take anything. It's just crazy.
Yeah,
and now he's wonderful.
But so I worked with him for a while, and it was quite amazing. It was what, like, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes or so into our session of working with him, all of a sudden he looked at me and said, "Oh, I got it. Yeah. I understand. I didn't understand before.
Yeah.
I understand now." And that was it.
Yeah.
He's like been great ever since.
And he understood that. What was being asked of him, and now we're strict with him. He has to do as he's told, but he's happy to do as he's told. He got the message.
Well, he fell into a big pan of dog fudge when he moved into your place, and you found him. That's for sure.
He's anxious, very anxious to please all the time now. He's just a big marshmallow.
Will you tell him Aunt Martha said hello?
About 90 pounds in that marshmallow right now.
All right, so happy Father's Day to Bill and Scotty and all you other animal dads out there. And if by chance you're a single animal dad, your animals can't go to the store to get you something, but they would really like to. So you have my permission to take yourself to the store and buy yourself a Father's Day gift. And then tell your animals what a wonderful gift they gave you. Very special. Gary, you could probably do the same thing.
Yeah, I think I will.
Who is that? There's a commercial actually on TV these days that's running that the dad goes to like the Apple store or something.
I thought of you when I saw it too.
Yeah. Except that you do have a wife that's supposed to cover those bases.
Yeah,
cool. All right. Well, you go in. All right. So let's see. What are we doing today? It is, Helen and Bill are here. Woohoo. And that's, they have just returned from, if I remember correctly, living with African tribes out in the middle of nowhere. So we will be hearing all about their great adventures and what's planned for the future and all that sort of stuff. Before we get to that, though, let's see. I've got some follow-up and some news. And then we will be doing, at 10 o'clock, we're on a tip today, and it is... the 4th of July fears tip. So keep in mind, 4th of July is coming up. And if you have animals that are afraid of fireworks and loud noises, I tell you how to handle that and change the way they feel about loud noises. But it does take a little bit of homework ahead of time. So be sure you listen so that when the 4th of July rolls around, you're ready to deal with your animal friends. And about 10:55, we'll do current events. And then... we are going to have sometime, hopefully, an update from our, in their words, our little old ladies in the high desert of Arizona in the fire zone, Dee and Willa. I'll tell you kind of what's going on with them here in a few minutes. But hopefully they're going to be someplace where they have a phone reception and can call us to let us know what's going on. I cannot believe. I mean, Gary, the last show we did was just... a week ago, Sunday,
yes,
right?
Yes, 1 week ago today, as a matter of fact.
And with everything that's gone on down with Dee and Willa and the fire and all of the stuff that's gone on with them down there, I can't believe it's only been a week.
Yeah.
What those women have been through has been unbelievable. Now, just to give you a hint, not only are they being threatened by the fire, they're living in over 90 degrees, with 50-mile-an-hour winds, smoke up to their eyeballs, and they have dogs and cats and horses and goats and chickens to deal with, not to mention their crops because they're self-sustaining and everything is planted and all of that. And then we're dealing with Willa, who, bless her heart, and Helen and Bill, they're like our female, our older lady version of you and Bill, mm-hmm. because they have such great stories. And we've had them on the air once with us a couple months ago to start with to hear a lot of their great animal stories. But they have been having to evacuate and move their animals, you know, out of the smoke and area miles away. And they're out in the middle of nowhere, of course. And so we've been fundraising to try to get them enough money to take care of themselves and their animals and then all of the other people up in the high desert. But it's been real tough on Willa because she only has half of her lung capacity, sleeps with oxygen as it is, but she's been having to do oxygen all the time with the smoke and all of that. And, I got to tell you, in addition to everything else that they've been dealing with, couple of major developments this week. Number one, Dee's mother is dying. And is in a coma, and Dee's trying to get out of there to get to where her mom is and her family. And Dee's sister came out from Oklahoma, and she was with them yesterday and was going to drive down to where her mother and the family was. But then they had car trouble, so they were dealing with that. And then they decided before they also do rescue, kind of like you and Bill do, Helen, and because pretty much all of your dogs are rescues.
All of our animals.
All of your animals are rescues. Well, see, Dee and Willa are the same. And all of their animals are rescued, and they had 15 rescue dogs. And they decided middle of the week that their two most elderly dogs, one of them being Willa's German Shepherd protection dog that was honored for saving her life and all of that sort of stuff, that they were just too old and crippled to be able to handle the move and the smoke, and so they had to euthanize two of their beloved dog friends this week, and that was just almost more than they could bear. And then the donations have kind of stopped. Oh, and let me tell you, we did a whole thing last week on this show. Robin Alexis, Mystic Radio on Wednesday, she did a whole all on her show, and it's up on her website and my website, and we got a Willa Dee Wildfire Relief Fund account set up at Chase Bank. And we thought we were doing the right thing by putting up the account numbers and routing numbers so that people could wire money to that account rather than having to go to a Chase Bank and make donations. Gary, you're going to love this. Guess what? Twice this week, someone tried to steal the money from the account.
Wow.
So we had to take down the numbers and all of that. All you need is the number of the or is the name of the Chase Bank fund for them, which is Willa Dee Wildlife Relief Fund, and you can deposit into that account. But I just was so disappointed in humanity that someone has to try to steal in a situation like this. So anyway, that's kind of a brief update. They hope. As of yesterday afternoon, they were not yet evacuated. They've moved the horses and the chickens and the two livestock dogs have been moved to the valley to where they're going to be staying. But the rest of the dogs and the cats and Dee and Willa were still in the high desert, and they were hoping to get out last night. When the weather cools down, or early this morning, in the drive to the valley where they're going out of the fire area and the smoke, there are areas where they have no reception with the phones. So we have no idea, but we're going to shoot for the 11 o'clock hour that they'll be able to call us. I mean, Scotty's going to try to reach them. They'll call us if they can. And hopefully in the 11 o'clock hour, we'll have a live report and be able to hear their voices and know they're okay and find out what's going on. So we'll just kind of play that Bay Ear. But I told them, whenever you can get to a phone, if it works, call us, and we'll do a little Dee and Willa update and see how they're doing. So that's that. Now, I also want to follow up last week. I have been down and out, as you know, with the flu for a couple of weeks, and hopefully I won't be coughing and blowing in your ear today.
You've gone okay. It's been okay so far.
Yeah. And you can probably tell from my voice that I'm feeling much better, and my strength is coming back, my appetite's coming back. But I really want to thank our listener, Maureen, who called in last Sunday about a homeopathic remedy that, because both Scotty and I were complaining about our sinuses and runny nose and all of that, and so she suggested a homeopathic remedy called Number 5 Calimer, C-A-L-I, M-U-R. And it's for relief of symptoms of cold, sore throat, and runny nose with a white discharge. It also helps with burns. But anyway, Scotty finally Tuesday got out, and I think you went to Super Supplements and you found it. Mm-hmm. Got some for him, some for me. I haven't had a chance to find out from you if it helped your sinuses.
Yeah.
Did it work? I have to say, this stuff is fabulous, yeah. Maureen.
Thank you.
Yeah. It really works. And, you know, homeopathic medicine, you don't touch with your hands. You dump the little pills in the cap of the bottle and dump them under your tongue and let them dissolve. And I've been taking it all week. And I have to say, yesterday I was out most of the afternoon and early evening, so I took it in the morning and I carried it with me, but I was having such a fabulous time, I'm going to tell you about that in a minute, that I didn't take any. And so last night I climbed into bed, and of course I never get to bed early as I should on Saturday night to get up for Sunday morning because, you know, I'm not a morning person. And, you know, I lay down to go to sleep, and all of a sudden, you know, I get that, my nose starts to run, and I get that scratchy throat, and it's like, oh. And, of course, I forgot that the Calimer was still in my purse, you know, in my office. I'd forgot to bring it in with me or take any. So I laid there for about 20 minutes being miserable and thought, oh, just get up and go get it. So I got up, and I went and got it, dumped a few under my tongue within less than 5 minutes. All the symptoms gone. I was happy camper. Off to sleep I went. So, Maureen, Thank you. Great stuff. I'm really a fan of homeopathic remedies. All right. And so yesterday, I got to tell you, I went to the annual summer solstice celebration, an open house at the Ananda community in Linwood. Now, granted, summer is supposed to be here on Tuesday. But, you know, spring has really not happened yet, so who knows when summer will actually arrive.
Really?
And but anyway, it was the summer solstice celebration, and I don't know if you all are familiar with the Ananda group, but this is a community of like-minded individuals. It's like an apartment complex in Linwood. But these are the folks that run East West Bookshop in Seattle, and the temple in Bothell, the Ananda Temple in Bothell, which is, oh, incredible. And I have, you know, I've known of them for, you know, 20 years at least, been shopping at the store and all of that. And I think I've made mention of maybe once or twice on the air, but not a lot of details. I joined this recently in the last 6 months or so. I joined my friend Krista from New Spirit Journal in doing yogi training at the Ananda Temple. And I went through the Raja Yoga training, which is not, I always thought yoga was just, you know, when you think of yoga, you think of the yoga postures, but it's also a spiritual path of meditation and so forth. And that's what the Raja Yoga was training for Kriya Yoga, which is the really, really cool stuff. And so Krista and I did the Raja Yoga together, and now we're in Kriya prep training for the really, really great stuff. And at any rate, I'm just absolutely loving it. I still do my light work that I've been doing for 25 years and always will, but really focusing now on learning the yogic traditions. And I'll have to tell you this it was kind of an open house at their community in Linwood, and oh, what a place this is. And I believe this is the way of the new earth, that we are needing to simplify our lives, get together with like-minded people, and live simpler, more service-oriented lives, and taking care of Mother Earth and all of that. I never thought I would ever be attracted to a community living environment, you know, apartment type situation. But I have to tell you, I would live there. The place is unbelievable. You walk on the property and you feel like you're home. These folks are just so lovely, and it's awe-inspiring, the life that they live. And they have chickens, and they did the gardening, and you can join the little gardening group, and, you know, every Saturday get fresh vegetables and so forth. And they had an open house and kind of booze and wonderful snacks and treats and tours of the place. And then at 5 o'clock there was the solstice celebration. And Krista Gibson, a publisher and editor of New Spirit Journal, was the guest speaker, and she was fabulous. She did a great little talk. And then Padma and Hariman, the Nyaswamis that run the Ananda Center up here, spoke and led us in prayer and songs and chant and stuff. And it was just absolutely divine. And then they fed us all for free, this huge, spectacular vegetarian dinner. And I met some wonderful, wonderful people and had a fabulous, fabulous time. And it was just great. So I just want to let you know, if there's a little bug going off in you and you know you've been thinking you really need a spiritual path or a community to connect with, and that's the main reason I started doing this yogi training, is that I knew that I needed a spiritual family to connect with in the area for these new earth energies. And this is phenomenal. And the temple in Bothell, of course, they have services on Sunday, and they have meditation groups at noon every, you know, like Tuesday through Friday during that. You can just drop in and join them. And, of course, they support themselves with a store, East West Bookshop in Seattle. And so if you've been looking for a spiritual home that is totally, it's like non-denominational, non-judgmental, they honor the saints of all religions and everything. It's just really wonderful. Check it out. And be sure and keep in mind next year, because this is an annual event. They do the summer solstice celebration and the open house. You got to come, because it's just, boy, if you want to be inspired to live simply and graciously, these are the folks to connect with. Really, really, really special people in a very, very special place. Okay, now, the next thing that happened this week, I have to give kudos to one of my sponsors. You know that my kitten, Miss Sophie Sweet Cheeks, who is not yet spayed because Dr. Bill, one of our Animal World veterinarians and my veterinarian from Quilceta Veterinary Hospital, has encouraged me to keep her intact as long as possible and let her go through heat before we spay her, because he's not real big fan of the early spays and neuters anymore. So I have done that, and she's kind of been gone in and out of heat a few times. Well, she had a major heat this last week. And she does have a suitor in the neighborhood. Now, she's indoor only, and then, of course, goes out into the wonderful cat run that Scotty built. But, you know, she goes out in the cat run and calls for her suitor, and she's got this unneutered male gray and white cat that comes around. And he does come up to the French doors and look in the window. But up until this last week, he'd only sprayed, you know, out on the property. Well, Sophie's suitor must have come up during the night one night and backed up against my French doors and sprayed unneutered male cat urine. Well, I think the only worst smell on the planet is dog anal glands, but unneutered male cat urine is awful. And, of course, my French doors are not airtight. And enough of the urine either, you know, came in under the door, whatever, that I walked into my dining room area and, laugh that male cat urine. So and G-Man wasn't real happy about the smell, and so off I went to look for my anti-icky poo, which, you know, you hear me talk about from time to time on the show, because I believe it's the best odor neutralizer, especially for male unneutered cat urine. Couldn't find it. And all I could find was my Pure Air, which is another odor neutralizer, which is an all-natural, really wonderful odor neutralizer that works pretty good. So I got out the Pure Air and I sprayed the outside of the door, and I sprayed the inside of the door and the carpet in front inside the door. And I have to say that the Pure Air worked at that moment. And so for the rest of that evening, there was no cat urine smell. Got up the next morning, back with a vengeance. So I went in a bigger hunt, and finally I found my anti-icky poo. Thank goodness. Because I got out, I sprayed the outside of the door where the sprays were. I didn't spray inside, or the inside, and I just the outside. Absolutely gone, 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 gone forever and ever, never to return. It's just gone, gone, gone. And what I found with anti-icky poo, they tend not to go back and mark the same area. So there have been no more remarking since. And the odor was gone with one spray. And I didn't wash the door or anything. I just sprayed over where the cat had sprayed. So anti-icky poo, if you're wondering, the best odor neutralizer, that is it. It's made by Mr. Max. If you go to the Animal World website, MarthaNorwalk.com, on the homepage, where the sponsor links rotate through, there's kind of like a light blue square that says Mr. Max. Click on that. That will take you to the Mr. Max website, Mr. Max website, and you can check out anti-icky poo. Good stuff. All right. Well, let's see. Gosh. Gary, what do you think? Should we be on time today?
Well, I don't know.
That's really unlike us. Yeah, it kind of is unlike us. So let's go ahead and take care of our advertisers and sponsors. We will then come back and do a quick Animals in the News, because there's one specific story that I really want to talk to Helen and Bill about, show them a photograph in the paper and see what they think. And then, of course, we're going to Africa. Woohoo! And, oh, by the way, if you want to check it out, because I haven't officially introduced Helen and talked about all of the incredible things that she and Bill have done, go to her website, www.helenthayer. That's T-H-A-Y-E-R, helenthayer.com. And look at what they've done. Unbelievable. And we are going to be storytelling today. So stay with us. Animal World continues with Helen and Bill Thayer straight ahead, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
This new year, give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, a strong immune system, and a healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Go to NuProSupplements.com for more information. That's NuProSupplements.com.
Call into Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis Wednesdays at 12 noon Pacific and 3 p.m. Eastern Time for your free on-air readings. Robin uses her ability as a karma specialist, medical intuitive, and metaphysical healer to assist you in removing blockages so you can experience life more fully. She's a medium who can talk to your spirit guides and angels. And check out Robin's Soul Spa at robinalexis.com.
Since 1935, Evinger's Dog and Cat Food Company has been the finest natural dog food company in the United States. For over 75 years, they have innovated products dedicated to wholesome nutrition free of harmful additives and preservatives. Premium quality cuts of USDA human grade meat and poultry with market fresh fruits and vegetables compose their revered recipes. No corn, wheat, or soy. No fillers or byproducts. No additives or preservatives. Nothing artificial. Just abundant, wholesome ingredients. Make it easy to say yes to Evinger's. Visit online for more information at evingersdogandcatfood.com.
Hi, this is Chat with Women, and I'm Pam.
And I'm Rochelle. We're a forum for women and the men who love us, who want to learn, grow, change their lives, and have some fun.
Join us now 5 days a week, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. to be inspired, educated, all with fun and love. Be sure to visit our website, chatwithwomen.com.
If you're interested in reaching thousands of women, for sponsorship information, email us at info@chatwithwomen.com.
Hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend. And Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. Now, Check out their website. Go to MarthaNorwalk.com. Click on the Jones & Company Pets logo. That'll take you to their website. You can find out everything that's on sale, which is usually everything but the kitchen sink. And then you'll know it's worth a trip to Jones & Company. You'll find them on State Avenue in Marysville. You can give them a call at 360-658-7817. At Jones & Company Pets, their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
Does your dog experience bad breath or gas? Does your cat spit up hairballs? Try Optigest. Optigest is a natural formula of digestive enzymes and the prebiotic FOS. Even pets with a healthy diet can experience digestive upset due to diet change, separation, or the normal aging process. Optigest works fast and has no inactive ingredients. Optigest supports intestinal balance and a healthy immune system to promote more comfortable, active, and vibrant dogs and cats. Ask for Optigest at your natural pet store today.
Karma specialist and founder of Metaphysical Mothering, Robin Alexis, is nurturing, powerful, and phenomenally gifted. Her books and personal one-on-one phone sessions can change your life forever. And now she's channeled the Mary Magdalene Reiki Healing Energy Portal. Learn about this membership and how to get exclusive contact with her at her website, robinalexis.com. Robin invites you to register for her weekly newsletter and share your comments and experiences in her blog and forum with her and other community members at robinalexis.com. Robin uses her ability as a medical intuitive and a metaphysical healer to assist you in removing blockages so you can experience life more fully. She is a medium and she can talk to your spirit guides and angels, and she's adept at doing all this over the phone and through the website at robinalexis.com. You can call her for a private session at 360-457-2993, and you can email her at robin@robinalexis.com.
For the people, by the people. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey, y'all, Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the second half of the first hour of our Father's Day edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. As you can tell, I've got my energy back. I feel a whole lot better, and I feel like I'm racing here to catch up because there's been a lot that didn't get done in the last couple of weeks. Anyway, we did something great. Well, during the break, had Gary, because Helen, the first thing happened when the mics were turned off, says, where can I get the anti-icky poo? And so I had Gary go to my website and click on the Mr. Max logo. You pulled up their website and you put in your zip code that searches, right?
Yeah, they have online retailers if you just want to do it.
You can
that
order
way.
It online.
Or you can, they have a store locator too, where you can find.
Yeah, so we just because Helen and Bill are out in Monroe area like me, so we just put in our zip code and boom, store in Monroe came up that carries it. So woohoo!
Yep,
Helen and Bill are going to be set with their anti-icky poo. So www.marthanorwalk.com, click on the light blue square with a guy and it says Mr. Max. Click on that square. Mm-hmm. That will take you to the website and anti-icky poo, and you can either buy it online or you can search. Find out where it's available in your area.
Lots of different options.
Yeah, yeah.
For your convenience.
Absolutely. But it is absolutely the best odor neutralizer, particularly for male cat urine, that I've ever, ever found. I can't tell you, as a behavior therapist in people's homes, and because they're, you know, animals are peeing all over the place, and they're waiting to replace the carpet until we fix the animals, and I have them get the anti-icky poo and clean the carpet with that, you know, put it in the shampooer and stuff. I can't tell you how many carpets have saved over the years with this stuff. It's really, really good stuff. Okay, let's do a little animals in the news. Sometimes it's just like you just got to wonder about people. There's a couple of those stories. Here, when a visitor in Seattle last week placed his backpack on the X-ray machine at the 3rd Avenue entrance to the King County Courthouse, the screener noted something odd in the image in the backpack, a coiled snake. A court marshal asked the man if he had a pet, and he said he did. No pets allowed, so the guy and his snake left in a huff. Who carries a snake in their bag? But also, who lets them go through the X-ray machine? Jeez. Now, this is even worse. This is out of Prosser, Benton County. A man ran over two of his own cows when he couldn't get them back into his property. The 57-year-old was reportedly using his white van to try to corral six cows that had escaped Friday afternoon. The Tri-City Herald reports someone called the police to say a reckless driver was running over cows. The man apparently became frustrated and ran over a city-owned fence and two of his cows. And both animals sustained broken legs and had to be euthanized. I mean, how sick is that?
Gee, he ran over a cow.
Your own cow. You know, I mean, it's not like it's somebody else's cow that's in your way. And even then, it wouldn't be okay.
I mean, they're big.
Yeah. And here's a warning for the upcoming fair season. I don't know if you've heard of this, because it's out of Everett. Remember the cases of E. coli that were coming up? Well, four people reportedly infected with E. coli bacteria after they visited the animal petting farm at Forest Park in Everett, according to the Snohomish Health District confirmed. And they experienced symptoms after a June 4th visit to the farm. And let's see, they still have to confirm the lab tests, but they're pretty sure that this is where it came from. And what they've determined, of course, because you can, you know, find E. coli, of course, at farms and so forth. And, you know, all of these petting zoos, and I'm thinking, of course, you know, the Monroe Fair and Puyallup Fair and all of that. And the petting zoos, you know, they have the hand washing stations when you come out. Well, just a heads up, folks, especially if you've got little kids, because their immune systems are more vulnerable. Make sure you use the hand washing stations, because it doesn't mean that they're now they did apparently go into this farm and really the city disinfected and bleached and enhanced fencing around the animal cages to prevent, you know, kids reaching in and getting access to contaminated areas in some places. So they've changed somewhat, but just keep in mind, because that could happen at any petting zoo. So make sure you use the hand washing stations, especially with your little kids. And, oh, this was kind of disturbing. Dairy Gold, our local milk makers, and on Wednesday, the Northwest's most recognized dairy cooperative pleaded guilty in the U.S. District Court to two federal charges associated with dumping pollutants into the creek and killing fish. And apparently, over the years, what does it say, from Whatcom County to Yakima County, Dairy Gold has paid tens of thousands of dollars in state fines in the last decade for polluting area streams, including spills of overheated wastewater and one of 20,000 gallons of milk. Now, come on, who thinks it's okay to dump 20,000 gallons? I mean, anyway, Dairy Gold says that they've hired additional people to focus on environmental safety, and they're developing new employee training programs. Let's hope that's true. Please clean up your act, Dairy Gold. Here's the story, Helen. I don't know if you've heard about this. This is off of MSNBC.com, by the way. Bloodthirsty pack of dogs terrorizes Washington community. Now, this is they're saying bloodthirsty pack of dogs has killed about 100 animals in the past few months while eluding law enforcement and volunteers in northeastern Washington state. The killings started in late March and have occurred in a wide area of mountains and valleys, just 40 miles north of Spokane. Quote, trying to figure out where they are going to hit next is impossible, according to this sheriff. Nobody is claiming ownership of any of the animals involved in the pack. Most recently, the dogs killed a 350-pound llama Tuesday night. They've also killed goats and other farm animals. They say that this pack of dogs is killing for the sake of killing. They're not eating anything. They're just killing. And, you know, which is kind of disturbing about, you know, what's going on. And you know, I've always believed that wild animals kind of reflect the mass consciousness of the area around them. And remember Dr. Al Pluckner talking to us about, you know, his property in Idaho, and that the wolves that were coming back to Idaho, that the wolves were killing for the just for the sport of killing. That was kind of disturbing to hear. Now, at any rate, they with these dogs, there's only been a few sightings during the day because they seem to only run at night, and then they're not sure if they go home to people during the day or if they're packed, but there's like four or five large dogs. Now, a couple of them were caught on camera by a surveillance camera on someone's farm, and you can only see the back of the head of one of them, but you can see the whole other one. Hey, look at that picture. I want Helen and Bill to look at that, and what do you think when you look at that?
Well,
yeah, because I'm looking now. The one that you can only see the back of looks more like a domestic shepherd of some kind. But the one you get the face of and the whole body,
now, very long nose. Yeah,
doesn't that look like a wolf hybrid head? Yeah. Yeah, it looks like a wolf hybrid to me. Which like I hate to say that, but that's what it looks like to me. Yeah. And I ask because Helen and Bill have a lot of experience with wolves, and once we work our way through Africa, we'll talk about their experiences, because
that dog has a very long muzzle on him.
Does that look like it might have some wolf in it to you?
One of these people that breed their dogs to wolves.
Yeah. So
vice versa. And let them out, and then the wolf gets the blame, and the wolf part of him gets the blame.
I'm going to hold this article out for us in case if there's no resolution to this by the time we do our next Robin and Martha Sunday. We'll tune in and see what we can pick up about these animals. And
we really wish that they would make it against the law to breed dogs and wolves on purpose. There are accidental breedings, but in the far north in the Arctic, there's accidental breedings, but that's another story altogether. But to deliberately breed these dogs isn't fair to the domestic or the wolf.
No, it really isn't. And of course, those that do it say, well, we're trying to create a more perfect breed of domestic dog. And it's kind of like, you know, come on. We've got hundreds of perfect breeds of domestic dogs. We don't need to be trying to create any. We can't take care of the ones we have.
Well, if you do that, you have the wild bred with the domestic. And then as they grow older, there's a conflict. There's an emotional conflict there.
Yeah, and I believe that the wolf generally has great integrity.
Yes.
And Helen and Bill will attest to the incredible intelligence and integrity of wolves. And for heaven's sakes, I mean, you and Bill and Charlie, your wolf dog, and you lived with packs of wolves up in the northern.
They're not killers in this way.
No.
That mix of wolf and dog to do something like this, and it's only because neither the wolf or the dog are bad. It's just that the combination
is not good.
It normally turns out to be a disaster.
Yeah,
and this cute little puppy grows up. The people can't handle it. Let it go, and then it's off.
Yeah, I just a few weeks ago. I got home from the show on Sunday, and there was a voice message on my phone, and I called them back, and they were some people up the road from me, a few miles up the road from me, and said they'd never had a dog before, but this dog showed up in the neighborhood a week ago, and they were going to keep it, but they thought it was a wolf hybrid, and they wanted me to come and check it out. So, you know, it was Sunday afternoon, I was in a good mood, so I went up, and sure enough, it is a wolf hybrid, but it just showed up.
Somebody just let it go, probably.
Yeah. My sense was that it was abandoned. Yeah. That someone did. They just moved out and left it. Because, you know, wolves, you know, as teenagers, you think a domestic dog can get into trouble. Oh, well, you got to try a hybrid. They can really cause, not because they're bad, just because they're teenagers, and man, can they chew. And they're so smart and clever and good with their feet that they can get in and out of almost anything.
Yeah, they're very, very smart.
Okay, changing the subject here. This might be the only, I might be the only one that could probably live in this house and be okay. If you've ever heard my snake story. Idaho family abandoned snake-infested house. They slithered behind the walls at night and released foul-smelling musk into the drinking water. Ben Sessions once killed 42 in a single day. Shortly after buying their dream home, Sessions and his wife discovered it was infested with thousands of garter snakes. Their growing family lived as if in a horror movie for 3 months. They abandoned the property, but the home briefly went back on the market more than a year later, and they feared it could attract another unsuspecting buyer. Let's see, when they bought the house, they apparently, now this house is a 5-bedroom house on 2 pastoral acres in rural Idaho, southwest of Yellowstone National Park. And they think what happened is that the home probably was built on top of a winter snake den or hibernaculum. Hibernaculum, which I guess what they call where snakes gather in large numbers to hibernate. This is according to a wildlife biologist. But I had no idea garter snake that they would gather in that many numbers. But literally thousands and thousands of snakes, you know, in the ceilings, in the walls, on the floor, underneath. And now, see, I love garter snakes. And, you know, you've heard my garter snake story that I brought back 100 garter snakes from Fort Lewis once. I refused to come home without them. And Laurelhurst was not happy about that. But anyway, I love snakes. But I don't think I'd want to live in a house with thousands of garter snakes. But, you know, the Chase Bank now owns the house because they foreclosed on it because the people abandoned it. So they're trying to deal with it. And then say once the problem's solved, they'll put the house back on the market. But I'm thinking if they literally built it on a snake den, isn't it going to happen over and over? I mean, aren't they going to, I think... You know, they may have to tear this place down and build it someplace else, I'm thinking.
Because eliminate the problem, they'd have to kill all the snakes, and I'm not sure that's right either.
Yeah, yeah.
You build your house on the snake's territory, then maybe you should move.
Well, no. I have no idea what their an estimate of how much it would cost to remove the snakes and how long the process was not available. And, you know, I don't imagine that they'd take them and relocate them. I'm sure that they'd probably just... Anyway, I'm going to put this in the save for Robin and Martha Sunday, too, find out if in fact, there's a way to eradicate them and they won't come back or what. But now, here, this is another one, Helen. This, Russian customs agents reported seizing 1,041 bear paws, lynx fur, unspecified claw parts, and 5 tusks from the extinct woolly mammoth on Tuesday as part of a cache of 1.4 tons of animal parts seized on the border with China. Officials said they discovered the cargo after a dog alerted them in the bed of a Chinese driver's seemingly empty truck. And I'm wondering if all your travels, have you run into this, you know, underground body part trafficking of wild
animals?
It's
very common for the animals in Africa to be poached just for their body parts. So, in fact, we've seen elephants that have been killed by poachers and the face has been removed so they could remove the tusks and the rest of this huge animal is just left there to waste. And so poaching is going on all the time and the Asian market is the big market for various body parts, either for the tusks for ivory or various parts of animals for aphrodisiacs and all sorts of things go into this. In some of these ancient medicine cures require some of these body parts, and so it's still going on. And also the traffic in the animals for like parrots and small animals. I take these tiny little animals and transport them in the most bizarre ways.
Yeah.
To people who buy them, supposedly a live animal, but most of them don't live.
Yeah, it's just so sad. Yeah. And then hopefully we'll all, as a consciousness, grow on this planet that we no longer need to exploit the animals and
we see evidence of terrible suffering of wild animals
and
birds.
Oh.
Terrible, beyond belief, is what these creatures go through.
All right. Well, let's Let's be done with that part of the news and see if we can't stimulate a little brightness today. And well, let's close this out with the best good news about animals. Woohoo! I'd like to be walking on sunshine, wouldn't you? Ooh! Yeah. I sort of remember what it's like to have the sun out. All right, now let's see. First good news. This is just you can search Seattle Times. Rare turtles secure at secret oasis. Now, this also has to do with exotic animals, but they're in Ventura, California. It says, when it comes to caring for the world's rarest cold-blooded animals, few places match the pampering and security provided to hundreds of critically endangered turtles and tortoises at a secret compound in the foothills of Los Padres National Forest. Now, I'm not gonna go into a lot of details here and read you the column. Search it if you want to read about it. But this sounds like a phenomenal facility that is helping maintain some of these exotic turtle populations. But they can't let people come. They can't have signs. They can't let anybody know where they are because these turtles are so rare that people would do anything to try to steal them. I mean, how is that? I mean, this is a sanctuary and a habitat for these, and they can't even let anybody know where they are. Anyway, it's kind of a remarkable story, so you might want to read about that. Oh, I think it's really important to acknowledge when a Republican does something good for animals or the environment. You know, you think we ought to do that? Oh, well, I have a chance to do that. The House voted Wednesday to prohibit the Food and Drug Administration from approving genetically modified salmon for human consumption. The FDA is set to decide whether to approve the modified fish made by Aqua Bounty that grows twice as fast as the natural variety. But Representative Don Young, the Republican from Alaska, offered an amendment to a farm spending bill Wednesday that would prohibit the FDA from spending money to approve the Aqua Bounty's application. So good for him. You know, I don't know how you feel about this, Helen, but we ought not to be genetically manipulating anything.
No, not at all.
Yeah, especially stuff we eat.
If things are becoming artificial, too artificial as it is, without making it worse.
All right. Okay, here's a good one. Take Your Dog to Work Day is June 24th. And the Humane Society of the United States is teaming up for Take Your Dog to Work Day, and they're asking businesses to consider establishing programs that allow and encourage employees to have their dogs accompany them to the workplace. So I think this is great. And they want business leaders to understand how beneficial such programs can be to employees and their canine companions, as well the company bottom line. Studies have shown that employees who bring their dogs to work tend to be more efficient, happier, and healthier in the workplace. So I think that's great. Now, the winner of the best good news about animals. Now, is the winner primarily because he's one of our most faithful listeners, but Ed Jones has chimed in again. And the little cartoon he sent this time is really cute. It's called Dog Threat Letters. And the cartoon clip is two cats sit in their house. You can see that a dog bone has been thrown through the window and the dog's running away. And the cats are reading the note that it looks like, you know, that it's been pieced together out of a magazine. It says, arf, 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 arf. So dog threat letters is really cute. It says, good morning, Martha, Scotty, and Gary. Thought you folks and your audience might like to know about a film about elephants, one in particular, and why they belong out in the wild and not in a circus or zoo. It's a true story and just started showing over in New York. Hopefully one of the local theaters in our area will pick it up and make it available for us too. Best to all, Ed Jones. Thanks, Ed, for watching out. And I think, where did he get this story? Out of the New York Times. And if you want to search it, The Trick an Animal Cannot Learn, How to Be Wild Again. And this is a story about a new documentary that's come out. And the photograph is just priceless. Now, I'll tell you about that in a second. The documentary, One Lucky Elephant is what it's called. And there is a website, oneluckyelephant.com. And you can find out about the sanctuary that this elephant was taken to. But it's about this little man that had a circus and bought a baby elephant out of the wild and thought he was doing the right thing. And then, of course, realized that the elephant was going to long outlive him and it didn't belong in a circus. And so then apparently...